What's up, guys? Bob Busker here at Think Computers, and we're on episode 13 of our weekly tech podcast where we talk about tech, everything that's going on in the tech world, and of course, everything that we covered this past week on the site. With me, as always, I have Derek, but we also have a special guest this week in our good buddy Jack. Jack's kind of taking a hiatus from the site, but he's always with us at CES, and he covers a lot of mobile products and networking products. So, Jack, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
Not bad.
It's late night. We're actually recording this on Thursday instead of Friday morning, so it's late Thursday night. Pretty late for us. It's pretty early for Jack, because Jack is on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So
Jack just woke up, pretty
yeah.
much.
I just got home, actually, literally, like, 30 minutes ago. So.
Man. Yeah.
Living the life, huh?
Yeah, that's how we do, baby.
Yeah.
How's the weather, Jack?
It's about to rain, you know?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
In Cali?
I don't like it, man. It's cold. It's raining.
It's been like every season here in the past week, so I'm not really a fan of that at all.
Yeah. It's kind of been here, too.
It's just been trash lately.
Yeah. But let's jump into our reviews this week. We did four reviews this week, and we'll start with our case review, which was the Fractile Design Core 2500. And like most of the cases that we've been checking out lately, this is sort of like your entry-level case. Not until Computex will you will see those really big kind of over-the-top cases. So it's kind of the boring time for cases right now. But this is a pretty good case. I think it comes in at around $70. One thing that Derek, not Derek that we have here, but our other guy Derek who does our cases, he said about it was that one thing with Fractile Design, even though it's an entry-level case, you still have that, you know, really thick steel and that really good build quality that you're used to seeing with Fractile Design. So yeah, I liked it. It is a, you know, just one of those, you know, just good entry level cases. Somebody who's not trying to spend a whole lot of money on their cases. This is a pretty good case.
Yeah, it looks like just pretty standard black box. You're not gonna miss anything though.
Yeah, it's pretty much standard. It's gonna fit ATX motherboards and all of that. You know, we've seen this from so many different companies. This is just Fractile Design's take on it. Nothing super special, nothing really that jumps out at you, but again, it's going to get you a good case, a case that's going to, you know, last a pretty long while, you know, for under $100.
Yeah, and it looks like you could still get some AIO water cooling in there.
Yeah.
He probably did. It's just not going to be super flashy, so
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah, if you're not really looking for something that's really over the top, this is just a simple case, and again, it's very inexpensive, so you can, you know, take that extra money and put it towards a better video card or maybe an SSD or something like that.
Yeah, definitely a better place to spend your money sometimes.
Yeah, so we'll move on from that, and we'll talk about the CryoRig H5 Universal. So, not that long ago, we took a look at CryoRig's flagship product, which is their R1 Ultimate, which was the best air cooler that we reviewed this year. It was the best performing, but it was huge.
Right.
So this is their H5 Universal, and the reason they call it Universal is because the front fan is actually really thin, and it's going to give you 100% clearance for your memory on both sides. So that's a good thing. You know, we have these large memory modules, and you don't want them to, of course, get in the way of your CPU cooler, so this is the H5. One of the easiest coolers I've actually installed, and on top of that, it had really great performance in the top tier of all of our coolers as well. I believe I gave it a 10 out of 10 because I really couldn't find anything wrong with it. It's really quiet, easy to install, and great performance. And the price,
nice.
Price is around $50, I think. So that puts it up to, you know, to the higher end, not up to 70 or, you know, 70, 80, but $50 is a really good price, I think, for the value. And again, you have the compatibility both on AMD and Intel sockets. Yeah, it's one of the best coolers, I would say, as far as everything goes. It's one
yeah,
of the best
an all-arounder.
Around, yeah, it's the best all-around cooler that I've reviewed this year.
Now, you said it's got a, obviously you can see it too, it's got a super thin fan. How is the tower different from the previous one we reviewed? Is it slightly smaller?
It's
or?
The tower, so the R1 Ultimate has two, it's a dual tower design, which the towers aren't as thick as this. This is actually a thicker tower, but it has the same technologies as the R1. And it actually has, I believe, 90% of the same surface area as the R1, just smaller pack. You know, it's just, it's crazy that they were able to do that and still, you know, have 100% RAM clearance and all of that.
Right.
It's really, really good cooler. And again, it's super easy to install. And even with a bigger cooler like this, you don't even have to remove the fan on this one or anything. Nice.
I'm looking at the installation. It's got the hole in the top for the tool.
Yeah. And sometimes these are a pain in the ass, right? Sometimes it's hard to line everything up, but it literally lined up perfectly. I did it in one take.
Nice.
Yeah, and again, they do include the longer screwdriver. So, you know, because a lot of the screwdrivers I have, they're thicker, and they won't actually fit down that hole, and it'd be kind of dumb to not have that included. So, that is definitely included. You know, like I said, it's just a great CPU cooler. I can't really say anything bad about it because, again, installation was easy, good performance, it's very quiet, price point's good. So
nice. Final question. Are the thin fans, are those available, like, to pick up a second one so you could double up?
I know you can. Yes, I'm almost positive you can.
Okay. Get a little more performance out of it and still probably not block the RAM slots on the other side.
Yeah, I believe you can get the thin fans. I'm on their website right now. If you give me a second, I could probably find it.
Just keep talking so you can
you can buy the fans. They're on here.
Nice.
So you can easily buy the fans. And again, to add more performance, obviously.
Sweet.
So we'll move on to another really cool product. You know, all of us were traveling and we're going all over the place. And one thing that I always have with me is a portable hard drive. My Ultrabook only has, I don't even know how much space my Ultrabook has, but it's not a whole lot. It has an SSD in there, but it doesn't have all the space, especially doing video editing. And of course you want your music and, you know, other media on there. So a portable hard drive is something that you want. And this one is actually from Buffalo, and it's their Mini Station Extreme NFC. And one thing that's really cool about it, it's NFC compatible. So you can actually unlock the drive either with your smartphone, if your smartphone has NFC, or it comes with a included smart card to easily unlock the drive. I thought that was a really cool feature, something you don't typically see.
So it's aimed more at people who need to secure their data, not just an external hard drive. Is that
So it's it has all of these certifications as far as protection, not only data protection, but it's a military grade shock protection, IPX3, mm-hmm. water resistance, IPX5, dust resistance, and then it has the hardware encryption as well. It's pretty cool. So if, you know, say, you know, like we're all at CES and I'm like, Jack, I need this stuff for my drive. You're like, what's your password? I don't want to give you my password. I can give you the smart card to go ahead and unlock the drive.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's actually pretty cool. And again, you can use it. Say if you had a phone that has NFC, you can use your phone as well to unlock it. It's pretty cool. And you don't have to use a smart card either. You can, you know, just have it set for password or however you want to do it. But I really liked it. And one other thing I really liked about it is the USB cable is actually part of the drive. Because, you know, sometimes we always forget those, right? We just try to throw everything in our bag and you forget that drive or forget the cable for the drive and then you can't really use it. So it's actually part of the drive, and they do include an extension as well. So, you know, because that cable is not going to be that long. So they actually have an extension. It pretty much has everything that you would want as far as, you know, it's not super rugged, but it has that shock protection. It has the security that you want, and the cable is connected to it. So another really great product I reviewed this week.
Could you disable the security if you don't want it and enable it when you do want it, or do you have to like do it at the beginning when you first set the drive up?
I'm not sure if you can completely disable it. Okay. I do believe that you have to have at least some form of security on the drive. So, because it's automatic, it automatically turns on when you disconnect the drive. So I believe that you can't have it fully insecure. You either have to have a password, or you can have a combination of a password and the NFC device.
I got you. Okay. Yeah.
But one thing that's also cool is it automatically locks itself after you disconnect it. So you don't have to do anything to relock the drive. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which of course is good.
Exactly.
Yeah. So very, very cool product there. And then finally, moving on to our last review of the week, which I also did, was the Kingston HyperX Fury Pro Gaming Mouse Pad. And this is a really big mouse pad. And what's crazy is this isn't their biggest one. This is their large size. They also have an extra large. It's just, you know, Kingston has really tried to build their HyperX brand, especially, you know, gaming and esports is getting huge. They're really coming out with all these products under the HyperX brand, whether it's SSDs or anything else, it's kind of under that brand. So this mouse pad is quite big. It's really nice. It's kind of thicker too, so it gives you a little bit of support on your wrist. Of course, I've been playing a lot of games with it. I was just playing Payday 2. The glide's really nice. I like it. It's a $20 mouse pad. I mean, for the size, for $20, you really can't go wrong.
And this looks like it's more of a square than a rectangle. Is that true?
Yeah, yeah, it's a square. Now, their extra large is a rectangle, and it's basically two of these put together, I believe. It's,
wow.
It's really, really big. So that's one that's going to cover your entire desk. It's going to cover where your keyboard is and where your mouse is. This one is actually pretty big as well. So, again, this can be, you know, and they offer it, you know, all the way small, all the way up to extra large. So you can kind of pick the size that you want, and obviously prices will be different for each one. But the one I have is the large, and it's a really good size. It's a really big size. And it's, like I said, it's only $20.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, so it's just a nice mouse pad. I've been needing a new mouse pad for a while, so it's nice to get this, and I'll probably be using it for a long while.
Is the back rubberized, or is it another side you could use?
Yeah, so the back is actually rubberized. So it's made to stick to the whatever you put it on, which, of course, is
right.
a good thing as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, so just like I said, $20 mouse pad. One I would definitely recommend because, like I said, it's just I've reviewed some really good products this week. I can't really say anything bad about any of them, which is a good thing. So we'll move.
I need to get a new mouse pad. So
I kind of needed one. Dirty. I've been like, I don't know if it's just because like the way I've been using my mouse, but I've always with the mouse pad I had before, which was smaller, I'd always like be off of the mouse pad for whatever reason.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I do that, but it's kind of how. I don't know. But this is perfect size. I really like it, so I can't.
Bobby, you can just cut off a piece of yours and send it to Jack, man. You probably got the extra space.
Exactly.
If it was the...
mine's pretty large, man, but it's not... I think... Mine's a rectangle.
Yeah.
So I think yours is the same width as mine, just taller.
Yeah.
It looks about that, you know?
It just gives me a lot more space and everything. Yeah. And it's... The big mouse pads, you know, like this are really for a lot of games where you're doing a lot of gliding and going across... you know, for different styles of games where you need that extra space. So I like it that they've offered it in a lot of sizes because usually with mouse pads, it just comes in one size. Like, company comes out with a mouse pad, it's just in one size. This one you kind of get to pick for the different type of games you're playing and the play style that you're playing, obviously. So, yeah.
And there's really nothing worse than when you're, like, playing a shooter and, like, you go off and miss and it's not tracking anymore and then you're dead.
Yeah,
so
you don't want that to happen at all.
Nice.
So we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, and that is, of course, our section of the site where each week, each Friday, we cover a case mod that's been completed in the community, and we kind of just showed a little love and, of course, bring it to all of your guys' attention. And this week we have one that's been out for a while, but I've really wanted to cover it. It's called the Reflector 900D. And it's a custom Corsair 900D case. And the one thing that I really liked about this, well, actually two things. The first is that he made the back part of the case an actual reservoir, which just looks awesome, I think. And then he actually put the channels, the coolant channels actually go along the bottom of the case, which I think
that's
is
really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's
something like little rivers.
Yeah, like a lot of people really don't do that. You know, we just see the straight tubing and all of that. So that was one thing that was really cool. And then secondly, he put the graphics cards at an angle on the case and actually redesigned the entire back of the case so that you can still obviously use those graphics cards that are set at that angle. Very, very cool mod.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work to actually get those set up that way.
Yeah, so
and then I like the fan controller that he's got set up in the front of the inside of the case. It's really like flush mounted up there.
Yeah, it's a lot of he didn't really, what's just crazy is on the build log he didn't go into a whole lot of detail of everything that he used, so I kind of had to dig around and find everything. But it's just
go ahead.
It's just a lot of detail that went into this, especially making the custom reservoirs, which he made himself. He made the channels himself out of acrylic as well. Just a really, really cool mod, but I wish there was more information. I put as much information as I could on the actual on the page, but there wasn't a whole lot. And he didn't take a whole lot of pictures either, which is kind of odd. But yeah.
Yeah, with all that work, you think he'd take a few more, but
yeah. So, but it's actually pretty cool. And the 900D has been a case that so many modders have used because it's a massive case, and you have a lot of room to work with. And if you take a look at the page, you'll see that the reservoirs that he built are huge. Derek, you would know more than me. Is that a lot amount of coolant in there, or?
I'd have to look at the page. I haven't checked out his log yet, but I guess it would depend on how thick it is. But I'd say he's probably on the average side there.
Okay.
Just because it looks like it's only maybe what, a half inch thick inside the chamber.
Oh yeah, I guess you're right, because you know the typical reservoir is round. It's, you know, a cylinder.
It's rounded. Yeah,
yeah, it's so not like this. Okay.
More volume to it. Is it two separate reservoirs too, or is it just the one?
It's two separate, because he actually has
two different levels, right?
One thing that he also did was he, like, everything's hidden. Even on the back of the case, you can't really see anything. He's really hidden everything. But there's actually two separate pumps on the back.
Okay.
So
he's got two loops in here.
Yeah, he has two separate loops going. If you're on the page, you can, if you click on the first picture, you can see the two pumps that are down there. It's a pretty cool something. Like I said, I wish there was more information on it. I wish there was like a full build log. He kind of just took pictures and went through. He didn't really give us like a full build log on it. But again, really cool, and it's always great to see these great to see these mods out in the community, because people can really build some really cool things. And we have a full section of these. We've covered these for a long while now. So if you're into case modding or want to see some really cool things that you could do with your case, just go over to our Case Mod Friday section and, go ahead and check that out. It's, like I said, these are really, really cool.
Yeah. Oh, quick, one more question. Did you see in his log, on the one picture, it looks like the acrylic is actually cracked? Is that, or is that an effect?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Oh, well, never mind then.
I didn't see what you're talking about. Is it in? It's in his log?
Yeah, it's also on... You put the picture in there. It's one of the back panel pictures, the very first one.
Oh, I see that. I think that's a reflection of the umbrella that he's using.
Oh, you're right. It totally is.
You had to be, like, scared there for a second. I was like, is his mod broken? And then...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's either the coolest effect, like... to have like a spider look on it.
No, that's just the umbrella reflection. Right on. Yeah. Yeah. Derek is a noob at photography.
Total noob at photography.
All right, so that pretty much is our everything that we did this week on the site, and we'll get into some news. The big news of the week has a lot to do with AMD. So a lot of AMD information has come out, especially with their graphics cards. So the first kind of bit of news is that there will be Hawaii-based GPUs as part of the Radeon 300 series. Honestly, we really weren't sure, and we're still not really sure where they're going to fit in the product stack, because we know that the R9 380 is going to be a rebrand of the R9 285. So that really doesn't leave a lot of room for the Hawaii-based GPUs, really. Which is kind of weird. And we have the whole rundown of pretty much everything that's going to be coming out on the 300 series that we know of, or that's been kind of leaked right now. And it looks like pretty much the entire R9 300 series is going to be all rebrands, except for the highest end card. But we'll get to that in a second. But except for the highest end card, one thing that was interesting about the Hawaii rebrands is that they're supposedly getting double the memory. So typically, you know, the R9 290Xs, they have 4 gigabytes of VRAM. So when they get rebranded, they're going to get bumped up to 8 gigabytes of VRAM, and they're going to get a slight overclock, but not much, obviously. So
that's kind of a typical AMD thing, is to just throw more memory on it and sell it as that.
Yeah, that makes sense, but it's, like I said, we're not exactly sure where these are going to fit in, and a lot of people are saying that the new Fiji chip might not even be part of the 300 series. You know, we're not really sure what AMD is going to do or anything like that. It's kind of weird, because by this time, you know, usually we know what everything is going to be and all of that, and right now, on paper, all we know are all the rebrands right now.
Yeah. It feels like to me, like, at one point they might have had a full plan of like everything they were going to do. Yeah. But then Nvidia started coming out with all these special cards, and then now they're just trying to react.
Yeah. So talking about that, another little tidbit of news that came in, or a little rumor, was that the top end AMD Fiji card is going to be named sort of like the Titan X. So we might have an R9 390 and R9 390X, which will be the Hawaii rebrands. And then we might have a brand new flagship, which will be called, I don't know what they're going to call it.
Yeah.
A lot of people were throwing the name around like Zeus Radeon or something like that, much like the Titan X. That's not actually part of the, you know, their typical naming that they have
it's
for
like
the card.
Ultra Enthusiast Series card.
Yeah, so, you know, the high end of the R9 300 series is supposedly supposed to be this super high end card. You know, it's kind
of probably trick some people into like grabbing a 390X, and then they'll find out, oh, this isn't even Fiji. Whoops.
Yeah, it's just a 290 it's a 290X with 8 gigs of VRAM, which yeah. are already out too. Some companies already have those.
Right.
You know, so it's going to be kind of interesting. I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed if there's only one card, right? So there,
yeah.
Well, we know there's going to be at least two cards. There's going to be a water-cooled edition, and then there's going to be a normal air-cooled one.
Yeah, but really that's
yeah,
one card.
But they're both the same card. So if we see just one card come out, I think a lot of AMD fans are going to be pretty disappointed. Because, like, you know, when AMD... Or when NVIDIA did their Maxwell architecture, we had a full product stack.
Yeah,
You know,
and we always do.
Yeah, we always do. With this, it's like they're not, you know, they're not gonna break, you know, have you know, everything based on Fiji. It's like we're gonna get one card based on Fiji, and then everything else is gonna be rebranded from previous technology. It's
yeah, I really don't like that. It's fine if you want to resell, and maybe you have chip stock, but like, give us a full line of like, you know. For one for everyone, you know, in every price category.
And the thing is too is that as you go back and you're rebranding older products, they don't have all the technologies that your flagship does, and they're really kind of for the consumer it's kind of confusing because some of the older rebrands that they're going to be doing with this don't support FreeSync, won't decode 4K H.264 video, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
where you know you think you're getting the latest one that has all of this stuff when it actually doesn't. You know,
yep.
So I just don't like that. You know when you're getting an NVIDIA card that's based off Maxwell, you're going to get all of the features that are built into Maxwell, right?
Yep.
With this, you're not going to do that. So I don't know. I just don't like it.
And what about the price? Well, we don't know for sure, but the...
We've been hearing a couple different things. We've heard that it might be $850 at launch.
Yeah.
For the card, which if it performs better than the Titan X, I mean that's a good price, right?
Yeah. I feel that like that's too expensive for an AMD card, just period. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
They just have to be cheaper to me, or no matter what. That's I don't know. And it is slightly cheaper, but $850 is just really expensive for a single GPU Radeon.
Yeah, but I mean, you're paying $1,000 for a Titan X, and if it outperforms a Titan X,
yeah, or equal performance for a less price.
Yeah, and the thing,
but the drivers are never as good.
Yeah, that is true. And one thing that I didn't talk about is that AMD hasn't updated their Catalyst drivers for over 160 days. That was in the news today. We didn't put that on the site. I didn't have time to cover it, but yeah, that's something too.
It's stuff like that that turns me off.
Yeah,
like they don't have final drivers, but they have beta drivers out.
Yeah, but still, it's not, you know,
and
with
I don't even if their full version drivers don't work well, I definitely don't want to use a beta.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I think that really it's come down to, you know, AMD got us all super excited. We're all excited for all this stuff, and then it's just like disappointment, 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 disappointment. You know, I think that that's kind of been their...
They just need to do it already.
Yeah, it's kind of just been their MO, and it's just like, that's why NVIDIA... I forget, what did we talked about this a few weeks ago, Derek? Like, NVIDIA owns, like, over 50% of the...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think they're, like, 70% of the market or something like that when it comes to desktop GPUs, and that's why. It's because you don't have this awesome support with the drivers coming out. You don't have an actual full line of real products. You have these rebrands and all of that. It's just not, they can't compete. It's just like they're not going to compete. And if they do this, I feel that if even if this Fiji-based card performs better than the Titan X. Even if that's a possibility, it's still, I just don't think with the support, and then if you're going to crossfire these, and we, you know, you had all that, those issues we've had before,
yeah,
you know, it just doesn't, I don't know.
That's why I say it's price. Like, no matter what happens with the AMD cards, they're never seen as good. Even if they are as good or better, they're just never seen that way by the majority of people. So you have to have a lower price so that people will just buy them anyways.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, talking about AMD, we'll go to our little third piece of AMD news, is that AMD actually kind of went over their high bandwidth memory detail. You know, that's the new type of memory that's going to be used on these the Fiji GPUs and for future GPUs. And this is actually the same type of memory that NVIDIA is going to be using in 2016 on their Pascal series GPUs. So it's actually pretty cool. You know, they kind of went into detail on how they have it placed on the GPU and a lot of different things. And one thing, it's actually quite smaller. So you're going to actually, yeah, as time goes on with GPUs, you know, over the course of time, GPUs have gotten longer and bigger, and now we're going to be able to shrink them down because of this new technology, which I think is quite cool. And also, the high bandwidth memory uses less voltage, so you're going to have, of course, less power draw, and it should be a lot, you know, with this new technology, things should be a lot cooler as well. So hopefully we'll see lighter cooling solutions and all of that in the future with this technology.
It actually runs slower, right? But the clock speeds are slower, but it actually has more bandwidth.
Yeah,
so it
has a lot higher bandwidth.
At less power draw.
Yeah, so it has a lot higher bandwidth and all of that. So definitely check that article out if you really want to learn about high bandwidth memory. They really went into detail on it, and it shows us their implementation, how they're going to use it on the new Fiji GPU. So it's actually quite cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, so we'll go to NVIDIA now, not graphics card news. So earlier, or actually over the past weekend, Amazon on their new releases page had the NVIDIA Shield console on there, but they actually had a pro version as well. And since that time, since we posted this article, NVIDIA actually confirmed that there is going to be a pro version, and the pro version will have a 500 gigabyte hard drive. That's the only difference. So, yeah, we talked about this when it was announced way back in GDC. So it's going to be coming out soon, but there was no mention of a pro version. So the pro version will give you the larger hard drive, because I think the other version only has a 16 gigabyte hard drive, because it is an Android device. It's made for streaming games. It's not really made for playing them. So the pro version will give you the larger hard drive to actually play real games on.
Yeah. I would think you're going to want to put your music and stuff on this like you do with any other console. So
yeah, it'll
give you a little more leeway with that.
Yeah, it'll give you just more space. They didn't mention prices on this, but it should be a little bit of a difference on there. Obviously, 16 gigabytes and 500 gigabytes is a lot different. We also know that because it was a full product page, that the Shield console is going to come with a Shield controller, HDMI cable, and USB charging cable. Or not charging, but USB power cable. So yeah, pretty cool. I know Jack might be excited about this because he's a console guy.
Yeah,
not excited. I mean,
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, who wants anything like an Android console? No, thank you. I just don't care. Like,
but even if, you know, even though it can stream PC games.
Yeah, I don't care. It's not a big deal.
So you get this tiny little console, and say you can actually have games that look better than your Xbox One or PS4.
Yeah, I have a PC too, and I could play it on my PC.
See, that's what I say too, because I don't want to. In all honesty, like if I'm playing a true PC game with a keyboard, I don't want to do that sitting down. Like I'm comfortable sitting at my desk and playing it like that. Like I don't want to sit on the couch and do it. I think that makes me more of a slob if I sit on the couch.
Well, there's just too much of a disconnect. So it's like some games you can play with a controller, some games you can't, and it's like, what if I want to play a game that requires a keyboard and a mouse? Like, sure, I can have a wireless keyboard or mouse or whatever. You know what I mean? But it's still like sitting on a couch and trying to do that. It just doesn't work out.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like if I want to play PC games, I want to be on my PC because I may switch between 10 different games. And I don't want to have to be like, now I have to get up off my couch and go sit on my computer versus, you know, it's just like, I don't understand that whole thing.
Yeah, really I think out. I mean I think there's a lot of people that do want to play their PC games in the living room, but it's just it's not us. I don't feel it's us. Like, we're not that type of people.
Even if you want to, most people have a desktop and a laptop. You know what I mean? I would say they do, at least.
Yeah.
You know? At least for the crowd that we're talking to right now. So if somebody just wants to do PC games on their, what's it called, on their TV, it's called Steam in Home Streaming. It's free, and any computer can run it. As long as you can, you know, stream a 720p video or higher, it's like, you're good. It's going to work fine. You know what I mean? Just do that. You don't need to spend money on the silly NVIDIA product. Just, this thing should go away.
I kind of think that it's maybe aimed more at, like, maybe kids or families that can't afford an Xbox One or a 360. Or a
around that?
And
What does the 16 gig start at?
I think it's going to be around the same price, though.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I was thinking it was going to be, like a couple hundred bucks.
But I think you get the grid service for free for, like, you know, to sell them initially. You'll get I can't remember because we talked about it when it was first announced, but you'll get the grid service, which allows you to stream PC games for free. You know, from NVIDIA, so you're actually streaming the game from online. You don't have to actually own the game.
Yeah, that one renders it on their server.
Yeah, right? So, but who knows? I mean, I just think that, I don't know, for me, it's you couldn't sell me that thing, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think NVIDIA's just wasting their time with it.
I know, I think there is a market. I really do. I just think it's not us, and I think that at the same time, I think that maybe, you know, especially with games like that are massive right now, with like League of Legends and what's the other one? Dota and things like that. This stuff's becoming really popular. It's becoming mainstream, right? So kids are seeing this and they're like, "Oh man, I want to play Dota. I want to do this, but I don't want to spend $1,000 to buy a PC." Right?
Yeah.
They can get this thing and they can play it. I think that's the market.
That's true.
You know,
that's not bad.
Yeah, I think that's the real market. And like we've seen all these Steam machines and all this stuff. That's what they're going after because kids see this stuff and they want to play it. You know,
bringing kids that aren't going to build PCs into the PC world.
Yeah.
But at the same time, playing League doesn't require like a super powerful PC. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I mean. That's why this thing is. Yeah, but
yeah.
What I'm saying is, you could buy a computer for a few a few hundred bucks. You know, and it.
I think this would probably do you better than a $300 PC.
Yeah, and this thing is too is that this runs Android as well. So you know, you can do Netflix, anything that you can get on Android, you can play on here. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you have that as well. So it's kind of like I said, it's that kind of crowd that kind of wants the best of both worlds, right?
I guess we'll give it 6 months and see what happens. You know,
they have the money, so they'll just throw money at it. I mean, that's just that's what they did with the Shield portable thingy that nobody bought.
Yeah.
Right, but exactly, but nobody's bought it. So
yeah,
I don't know.
They gave some away though.
Yeah, they always give them away. They give a million of those away.
I mean, if they want to give me one, I would take it, but it'd probably be sitting in the corner collecting dust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know.
But anyways. Let's move on to our next story because we'll just talk on and on about this. talking about gaming, Lenovo is looking to buy MSI's gaming notebook business. And if you guys didn't know, MSI is pretty much the number one leader when it comes to gaming notebooks. They've really kind of set the bar, and a lot of companies have actually copied them or try to come out with similar products. And MSI has been so good that other companies have actually licensed their designs for their laptops. So you'll see CyberPower, Origin, a lot of these companies, these system builders, have actually partnered with MSI to use their notebook designs for their products. So obviously Lenovo is the biggest PC manufacturer in the world. And they're looking to kind of boost their gaming section or whatever you want to call it. So they're looking to buy MSI's business. It's pretty interesting if Lenovo would do that. I don't think that MSI.
It's a good move.
It's a good move for Lenovo. I don't know if
it would be.
MSI would sell.
Maybe not like a complete sell, but maybe some type of partnership.
Yeah, maybe like Lenovo powered by MSI. But it's kind of
that's what they want
to
do.
It's kind of a hard thing to do because MSI makes normal notebooks as well. So you kind of have a conflict of interest type of thing. But they're really looking to actually buy the entire gaming notebook business. They've already like sent out an offer from what I've heard to buy it. But I don't know. The thing about what's going on with MSI is because MSI has been so successful at this, other companies, other bigger companies like Asus, Dell, and Acer have come up with competing products. So the margin of the market that they have is going to slowly get smaller. So maybe it is a good time to sell. You don't really know.
Yeah, I don't think MSI necessarily has the strongest brand in the laptop market, because I don't really think of MSI when I'm like, well, what kind of laptop do I want?
Yeah, you know? That's true. But I mean,
like, to me, they make graphics cards, which, you know, means they should make excellent gaming products. But still, I think that you're right that they're going to lose market share as the others build better and better products.
Yeah, they do make great gaming laptops. I've played on a couple of these and they're really, really awesome. And I know a lot of people that actually have, this is the ones, like my gaming friends, they have an MSI-based laptop. My Fatality, one of my good buddies, I was actually talking on the phone and he got an Origin PC, which is based off an MSI design.
Nice.
You know, gaming laptop. So, yeah, be interesting to see if Lenovo does that. I think that because we've seen Lenovo try to come out with these gaming products. They try to come out with a really high-end gaming PC. The desktop did nothing. All of their gaming-based laptops really haven't got any traction as well. So I think they really need this to get into it. And again, gaming is becoming massive. The esports is huge. So, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely good for Lenovo.
Yeah, yeah, so. So that is that story. We'll move on to Gigabyte. And one thing, we normally don't cover stuff like this, but I thought it was pretty cool because this motherboard is just insane. Gigabyte yeah. unveiled a new workstation motherboard. It is their MW70-3S0. And what's really cool about it is a workstation motherboard, so it is dual socket and everything like that. But it also supports three-way SLI on it. A lot of workstation motherboards don't, just because a lot of workstation motherboards are, well, dual socket workstation motherboards are more for CPU crunching, right? They're not really for graphics, right. But this kind of gives you the best of both worlds. So it can be great for like an animation machine, encoding machine, you know, that type of thing. It's really, really cool board. It's really cool to see two LGA 2011 V3 sockets on one board. It's actually,
yeah,
it's pretty crazy to see that.
I think it's gonna be massive.
Yeah, and then again, on top of that, you do have three-way SLI support, so you can put, you know, three really high-end graphics cards to do some of your number crunching as well. Really, yeah. Really cool to see that. I have no clue on the price. It's gonna be quite expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's massive RAM quantities. This thing just like a render farm and it's all in itself.
Yeah, so you have 16 DDR4 DIMM slots, which they can run 64 gigabyte single module. So what's, I don't know what 64 times 16 is, but whatever that is, they can run
a large number of RAMs.
Yeah, so, yeah, so
1024.
So yeah, so you can have that much gigabyte of.
So you could have a terabyte.
You could have a terabyte of RAM plus two, you know, high-end Xeon processors, which what the highest-end Xeon I think is 32 or is 18 core, 30, I don't know what it is, but it's super high because we don't really cover it because this is more you know, enterprise type stuff. But
yeah,
the highest-end Xeon for Haswell E is just crazy.
Yeah.
And then put three Titan X's in there. You know, with 12 gigs of VRAM each.
Somebody's going to do it. Some enthusiast is going to do a build with it just for the fun of it.
Yeah, so, and then awesome. On top of that, too, you have two mini SAS HD connectors. It's just insane. Like, for the most powerful, fastest thing you can build, this is a board that you could really do that on. It's just insane.
You know what I really wish, though? Like, they might have gone with a different color PCB.
Well, it's a...
I hate the blue. Well, I know it's workstation. It's not for build, but like you could have made it look just a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's just that's what's cheap to make, and you know that's this is gonna sit in a server for the most part.
I know.
So.
I know.
But anyways, a really cool looking motherboard. Definitely check that out for sure. Back to NVIDIA. There was a little piece of news that they actually might launch their GTX 980 Ti at Computex.
Smartest thing they can do right now.
Really, though? They don't need to. That's the thing.
Yeah, well, no, because they're going to take away everything, every single little bit of like hype that AMD had.
Yeah, but AMD supposedly isn't launching at Computex. They're going to launch at E3.
Yeah, their launch event. But now
E3.
This...
E3, why E3?
Actually, AMD is having their own PC game thing there. At E3, they're having their own type of...
I guess it kind of makes sense, but what market are they going for? You know?
Well, if they're all rebrands, they're going for something.
they're cheap enough for...
Yeah, but no...
I mean, I just don't understand... Yeah, because like E3's console, you know what I mean, for the most part.
Well, that's why like AMD partnered with a bunch of other companies to kind of throw a PC only type of E3 event. That's gonna be on. It's gonna be at the same time as E3. It's gonna be at E3. So that's why everybody thinks that AMD's new cards are gonna launch then.
Yeah.
And Computex is what, 3 weeks before that. So if I just don't think Nvidia needs to do this though. That's the thing.
Well, But what about this? What if the new whatever they want to call it from AMD really is that awesome? And now suddenly they're sitting with these 980 Ti's in their hands and everybody's spending their money at AMD.
This is true. This is very true.
So now you're grabbing up $700. It's below the price tag.
Yeah.
Rumored for the other, for the AMD card. I mean, I don't know. I might buy one.
Yeah. It's going to feature a different GPU though.
Oh, that's right.
But so the Titan X, which this card is, you know, more or less based off of, features the GM200-400 core, and the 980 Ti is going to feature the GM200-310 core. So we're assuming it's kind of a cut down version. I'm guessing.
But with the dash, it could mean. I mean, it could be a cut down version, and they're just using the dash to signify. But usually, when they go that far. It's some sort of a change.
Yeah, so but it's still going to be a good card. Instead of the 12 gigabytes of VRAM, you're getting 6 gigabytes, around $699 price tag, supposedly, when it comes out. And when they announce it, that's going to be the hard launch. So as soon as they announce it, you'll be able to buy it. Like one of those things, like it's a, you know, when they launch it, like an iPhone, it's available today or whatever.
Nice.
So yeah, we'll see if that happens. Like I said, they
see some numbers from it.
Yeah, was it Computex is in like what, a week and a half, less than a week, like almost a week.
You should know, man. You gotta have your schedule clear.
I know. It's the first week of June, so it's a little over a week to Computex. It'll be interesting, a very interesting time, very busy time for us for sure. So yeah, definitely gonna be interesting. Yeah, stay tuned for all of that stuff. And then there was a really cool article. Somebody did a little. Actually, it was for this person's master's degree or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was their master's degree. Yeah,
so it was really, really cool. They kind of tried to find out how much money streamers make. You know, these pro gamers and these gamers, you know, stream on Twitch.tv. And of course, they share profit, you know, share part of the revenue of that. So this person, what they did is they kind of tried to see how much these people were making. And the top streamer makes around $14,000 a month.
It's legit.
You know,
and that's just what? That's just straight.
That's just stream
advertising.
That's
way more than I make.
Yeah, that's that's out.
I got a college degree.
That's advertising, and then obviously there's a subscriptions that you can buy, but most of their income comes from advertising.
And then they can also have sponsorships.
Yeah, and the thing what's crazy is too is so a lot of these are pro gamers that have sponsorships through different companies. They're getting paid. If they're on a team, they're probably getting like a monthly salary type deal on top of streaming. And if they're going to tournaments, these big tournaments, you know, these cash prizes that we've seen lately have been massive. So there could be prize winnings on top of that. There's so much. But this is just strictly from streaming. So the top person is making $14,000 a month. I mean, that's a pretty good gig, I feel.
Yeah, and I think he's not a pro gamer either.
No, I guess he's just interesting. I've never even heard of him, so I don't know.
Yeah, I guess people just like him.
Yeah.
Well, and see, and then you got somebody like that who can like actually have corporate sponsorship because he's not tied in.
Yeah.
So he can have like, you know, Red Bull or something, which I don't know why they wouldn't jump on that with the amount of people he has watching.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
That's the thing with this thing is that esports, a lot of people don't realize because it's not so much in the mainstream. Like I said, we've seen some tournaments on national TV and stuff like that, but a lot of people don't realize just how big it is. I mean, these tournaments get more people watching them concurrently than the Super Bowl. I mean, it's really that big. It's really, and the money is there, right? We're having $1 million tournaments. Blizzard just announced a $1.2 million tournament for their new game. I mean, the money's there, the sponsorships are there, the obviously people are doing this, and obviously you can see Twitch with the money that these people are bringing in. I mean, it's just such a big thing now. It's insane.
Yeah.
And like even like the middle, it's really even cool. The mid tier people are making $4,000 or $5,000 a month. I mean, that's just like, that's a lot of money. I mean, that's
it's a good job.
Yeah, that's more than a lot of people make, you know, you know, at normal jobs, and you know, so very, very interesting. We have a link to this girl's full kind of write up on everything, and how she kind of went through and figured out all this data and all this kind of stuff. So it's actually pretty cool.
Yep, very cool.
Definitely check that out. So that is our news for the week. We're going to move on to what we are going to be checking out next week. I'll be checking out a solid-state drive from a new company to us called EMTech. I'm not really sure how you say it. It is their SSD Power Plus, which is just your normal SATA drive. I believe it's based on the Phison controller, the S10, I believe. So again, it's a new company, so we see a lot of these kind of sprout up as new controllers come out. Kind of companies will kind of just pop up because the new
sell some drives.
Yeah. So it's not one of the mainstream drives, but they sent us a drive to check out, so I'll be checking out that next week. I also will be checking out Cougar's 500K gaming keyboard. So we've already checking out, or I've already taken a look at the 700K and the 600K, and now we're on the entry level 500K. So the 500K is more like the 700K, except for it doesn't have the aluminum design, and it doesn't have mechanical key switches. It's a membrane key design. It's made of plastic. It's really light. If you compare them both as far as how heavy they are, it's much lighter, but it has a lot of the same features. It has the macro keys. It has the backlight illumination. It has the profile switching. It has all that other cool stuff on there.
That's cool.
But it just doesn't have the mechanical key switches, and it's not made of the better material, obviously. So I'll be checking that out next week. And then I actually got a really cool product. It is sort of a carry-on type backpack, a wheeled backpack type thing from a company called ECBC, which is kind of a weird name.
Yeah.
But they sent me this really cool backpack. It's actually a really high-end backpack, too. It actually,
is it a backpack or a, what's it
it's
called?
Sort of like
luggage.
It's sort of like, I would consider it more luggage, but the back actually kind of opens up and you can carry it as a backpack, too.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like the best of both worlds. This company, a lot of their products are made for electronics. So this is TSA safe or TSA friendly, which means you kind of just have to open the front. You don't have to fully take out your laptop, which of course is a good thing.
That's cool.
But this is their high end version. It sells for like $400. But
it looks nice.
Yeah, and it comes with a portable power pack as well. So one of those USB charging packs that actually comes with it.
Cool.
And it's 4,200 milliwatt amp hours, I believe. So it's a really nice little add-on that you get with this. Has YKK zippers. It's water resistant. It's really heavy.
YKK on your zipper. Sorry, I couldn't.
Yeah, it has the YKK zippers, which are the pretty much standard when it comes to really high quality type bags and things like that. I've been checking it out. I just did the video for it today. It's really, really cool. And again,
you've been wheeling it around town.
Been wheeling it around town. what's cool about it has a lot of room for electronics and things like that, but it also has room, of course, for clothes and all of that kind of stuff too. So I like it because it's the best of both worlds. Because I always have to bring a laptop bag with me and a carry-on. That's kind of, maybe I can consolidate and have both of them in one. And of course, it's going to protect all of those. All of my, my laptop, tablet, phone, all that kind of stuff.
Is it like a hard shell?
It's not a hard shell.
No.
But it's still pretty heavy duty. All the compartments are padded and all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it so far. And then you possibly will be finishing a all-in-one water cooler, Derek?
Yeah, I'm working on the H80i GT.
From Corsair.
Which is from Corsair, of course. And it's a 120 millimeter cooler. It's a pretty thick cooler. So it should be a pretty decent product. We'll see. I mean, H80s have been around forever.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this one does.
Cool, cool. So that pretty much wraps up our podcast. Usually, like I said, at the end of each podcast, we talk about something that we've checked out this week or something cool we saw or maybe something that we did. Since we have all three of us here, I guess I'll go first. I've been checking out this really cool, really funny show called An Idiot Abroad. It's on Netflix. If anybody, everybody who's listening has Netflix, it's hilarious. It's about this guy who more or less is like not a complete idiot, but not like he's like mental or something, but he's just like he hates everything. He doesn't like going certain places. He just like he's from England. He just wants to be in England. He doesn't want to you know, be around.
He doesn't want to try new things.
He thinks it's stupid. You know, he like in one of the episodes he goes to see the pyramids. He's like, "What's this all about? Why am I here? Like, this is dumb." It's really funny because people try him to get him to do things, and then he doesn't want to do them, and it's just really funny. And he's just this guy's personality is hilarious. It's like, you know, like when we get like our buddy Mark like really mad. This is the exact same thing, except for it's on national television. Like they just get this guy so mad, and it's from what's that guy's name? Ricky Gervais or however you say his name. He's like really big over in England. It's he produces the TV show, and they always, you know, this guy's supposed to go over and see the pyramids. Well, maybe they'll make him do something else on the way over there too, like get him into all these things. So he just gets really mad and really upset. It's a really funny show. I'm already on season two of it. It's hilarious.
So it's like reality TV?
Yeah, it's like a reality TV show. It's sort of like a travel show, but it's like hilarious. And okay. Like they make him do the craziest things. You know, it's just they make him – and you see a lot of things that you typically wouldn't see on other travel shows. It's really funny.
Like parts of the country?
Yeah, parts of the country and certain types of people and what the people eat. And they try to make him eat certain things, and he gets really upset. And he keeps on saying, "I just want to go home." It's really funny. definitely, if you have Netflix, definitely worth checking out.
Nice.
Yeah, so you guys do anything cool this week or not?
I kind of have been going back and watching some classics. Like I watched both Kill Bill movies.
Those are really good.
I had forgotten like just how good they were.
Yeah, those were. I remember when I first saw those, and I was like, "Wow, like this is. It's just really well done." I don't know what it is about them because they are like, they're not like. I mean, they are serious movies and all that, but they're just. Yeah. I don't know what it is about them, but they're just.
Good. There's something so fun. Like.
Yeah.
Like yeah, they're like super awesome action flicks, but like it's just like Quentin Tarantino just has a really good time like being a super big movie nerd and doing all this crazy classic stuff.
Yeah, and you can't. I mean, Uma Thurman, love her. So what about you, Jack?
Sorry, I almost coughed there for a second. What's it called? Like no reason either. I'm just sitting here and I just almost coughed. So I actually sent this to you guys when I saw it, and somehow I missed out on it for – I just checked it out. It's been out for 2 years. It's called JBL Pulse. It's a Bluetooth speaker. Remember I sent that to you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was pretty sick, dude. Basically, it's just a Bluetooth speaker. It can stand up or lay down, and it has LED lights that go all around it. And it can do things like give you a meter to the music, or it can just make other pretty patterns and stuff, and – I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool.
So it's just like me with the slot machines that are really like blinky and all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely.
You took that slot machine, the Panda slot machine you love, and put it into a Bluetooth speaker that, you know,
I'll have to get one of those.
Yeah, Jack, you need to just buy one and then get a cup that says "Put money in me" and just walk around Vegas and Bob will just give you money when you play music.
I know those things. Like those Panda machines got me for so much money. I didn't win anything. You missed it too because Jack and I like went to the airport at the end of the week and like I think you had already gone or something and
yeah.
Like
yeah,
and like
right.
I put so much money in this like they had some of them at the airport and I just kept on playing them and didn't win anything.
Yeah, that's right, we were standing. Oh my god.
Then I got home. I was like, oh you have that extra $40. Oh no, I spent on the slot machine.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. Dude.
The airport is the worst place to gamble.
Yeah, so it was bad.
I won I think I won on a Panda machine though.
Really?
Like a few years ago. Yeah, it was like, so I went to CES with you guys, or with Bob. I didn't know Derek back then. And then I went to Vegas the week after that, like the weekend after, you know, CES or whatever. And I was walking out of Palms and I saw a Panda machine. I was like, oh my gosh, Panda. And it lit up and everything. I won like $90 on it. I put $6 in it. I won 90.
Nice.
So the Pandas pay off, dude. You just gotta find the right one.
No, you were probably the last person to ever win on one though.
Maybe. There's a video somewhere of it. My friend videoed me because he was like, oh, it's a Panda machine. I'm going to send this to Bob and everything. And then all of a sudden I won. And I was like, oh, did you get this on video? Did you get this? And it like kept going, the little thing.
That's
I was
awesome.
Like, oh,
I think he did send it to me. I remember that. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. It was a while ago, though. It was like 2013 or 20-something. Yeah.
But anyways, that kind of wraps up our podcast for this week. As always, guys, we will have a full show notes page with all the links of everything that we talked about in it. And if you go on iTunes, you just search Think Computers, all one word, will come up there as well. Until next week, we'll...
Can I get it on Windows Phone?
No. Yeah, I guess.
What? You can get added. Windows Phone does have a podcast section, just so you know. You can get added to that. I'll send you the info on that.
No, but I mean...
yeah, but there's nobody using the phones.
Yeah.
Hey.
Why would he want to...
Okay, well, full disclosure, Jack, for some reason, uses Windows Phone. You can subscribe to it via XML, because it's just... You can subscribe to the XML feed. It will be there.
Yeah, if I download some podcast app, but if I do it through, like, the little podcast section, then I'm just like, boom, it's there.
People use that?
Yeah.
Does anybody actually put a podcast in it?
Yeah.
Besides you.
Yeah, people too. There's a lot
on there. All right, we'll definitely check that out. But
it's kind of janky. Yeah. You got to like email some guy at Microsoft.com. I forget.
That's
his name.
I don't want to.
There's an actual person monitoring it.
Then he like gets back to you a week later. He's like, all right, bro, sir, I'm not kidding you. That's what it was.
Wow.
He's like, sorry, I was emailing back to the other 6 podcast users on Windows Phone.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
You can get it on there. I mean, why not? You know what I mean?
So, yeah, we'll do that, I guess.
Taking over, guys.
But anyways, thanks, guys. Until next week, we'll catch everybody later. Have a good one, guys.